It is Bike to Work Day to kick off Bike Week in Winnipeg. We have lots to discuss today. We have questions about what's the right of way or who has the right of way concerning bike lanes, and how do we learn to just get along a little bit better. Also today, we had the voice of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, Derek Taylor, joined our show, particularly after some big news from the team that kicker Mark Leggio has been cut as we get ready for the regular season debut on Friday against Hamilton. And inspired by the Blue Jays fan who held a sign up at a game in Minnesota saying, "My wife thinks I'm watching this game at Smitty's in Winnipeg." He's won free wings for a year from Smitty's. So that got us asking you, what's the coolest thing you ever won? I'm Brett McGarry, alongside Greg Mackling and Loren McNabb. We are Mackling, McGarry, and McNabb. And this is the Monday, June 5th podcast for The Start. It is Mackling, McGarry, and McNabb on a Monday morning, and I don't know about the two of you, but while I very much enjoyed the sun and enjoyed the heat this weekend, I feel like I need a weekend from the weekend. Oh. I am defeated after spending 5 hours in the sun on Saturday and then five more yesterday. I am, I can actually feel it inside. Like my insides are jostled around. I'm just worn out.
It's like a microwave oven cooking you from the inside. You know, you don't like to joke about these things because there have been people who have had negative experiences in these tanning beds and with the same sort of impact and effect. But yeah, sometimes that sun just takes a life out of you. It's a giver and taker of life, McNabb.
And it's the thing about it is that you love it so much and you're out there and you're like, yes. And then you're like, no, because it was that waffling back and forth at times. It was hot, hot, hot. So for if you weren't near air conditioning or water or the chance to cool off, even with just hydration, I mean, on the golf course, Brett, what's your strategy? Because you're out. Once you're out there, like, what are you going to do? Jump in the water in the middle of the hole?
Well, there are many times where I want to jump in the water and throw my clubs in the water, but that's a different story. I'm in a power cart. I usually ride when I play, so you can at least grab shade in the cart. And some of the holes have shaded areas and stuff like that. But the main thing is just bring lots and lots of water. And try to bring some sort of healthy snack just to get you that little protein boost halfway through the round, because it's I can tell by the end of both days, especially on Saturday. I think Saturday was harder because it was really my first real blast of summer weather. And by the end, we were all sort of just kind of dogging it.
Well, yesterday we went into one of our favorite and frequented retail locations, Jackie and I, and our favorite salesperson knows us by name. I'll tell you how often we go to this place. And he tried to complain about the heat. And I said, "Don't you dare. Don't you dare." I said, 6 months ago and 6 months from now, we'll be begging for some relief from the cold. So don't talk about the air conditioning isn't working quite perfectly in the building, et cetera, et cetera. Because to me, this is what we've been waiting for. We complain about winter for months on end. And this, to me, is perfect Manitoba summer. Yeah, it's a little bit too, quote unquote, too hot. But I'll take it. I'll take this over the cold anytime, anywhere, anyhow.
Except for if there's no relief. Like if you genuinely have no relief from it, then it's got to be something else. Because there are people who might not. Like, that's the only that's the only caveat I'll throw into your, I totally hear what you're saying. We have to embrace it. We have to love it. This whole week looks good. But if there's a situation out there where you can't escape it, like, or if you're going, you know, working all day and then you go home and your apartment's even hotter inside than it is outside, then I have to feel for that, because that's where it becomes hard. You cannot escape it.
Oh. I'm saying for myself, though.
I understand. I get it. And I had big plans yesterday. We went out to Pinawa, my oldest son and I. We were going to go tubing. And then, of course, the thunderstorms snuck in. And so they didn't want us on the water while we were tubing. So we checked out the old Pinawa Dam out there and had a good little day of adventure. But the sneaky little thunderstorms, you know, where you're like cruising along and all of a sudden you look up and you're like, where did that come from? that might be the kind of day we're in for today and tomorrow, it looks like.
Yeah, those little pocket thunderstorms were kind of scattered throughout the weekend. I remember even looking at the radar, and often you'll just see this massive band making its way across southern Manitoba, but not just in southern Manitoba, but it looked like across the continent. There are just these little tiny blips everywhere. And I could, even standing on my balcony in Osborne Village, I think it was Saturday evening, I could see a big storm off to the southwest, and it looked like one to the west and maybe to the north. And I could hear it. It was all around me, but I didn't get it. And then Sunday, I could do, on LaSalle, I could tell they got it.
Yeah. The same thing happened Friday evening leading into the Blue Bomber game on Friday. Derek Taylor, who will join us later on this morning, said on his way in from the southwest, he was in a thunderstorm, yet by the time he got to the stadium, nothing. I got rocked off the couch by a massive clap of thunder in North Kildonan, about 4:30, quarter to five, I want to say. That got me going and got me, into my pregame routine, so to speak, and told me it was time to get going, better than my alarm on my Apple phone, I guess, or my iPhone. But we got nothing. So there are lots of people that had symptoms of thunderstorms and got nothing over several days. So kind of bizarre. I think we're looking for similar today, in fact.
We'll get more into the weather in a moment. And Drew Stremick's going to join us at 6:37 because we've been talking about the heat and that look back on May and how unusual it was. He's got some numbers for us. And I'm wondering if anyone out there in our audience is planning to bike to work today, because it's Bike to Work Week. And we're not just going to chat about that after 8 with Bike Winnipeg. But does anyone truly, and I'm asking this sincerely, I thought this the other day when I was coming down South Pembina, I love all the active transportation lanes that have been added to different routes. I'm genuinely uncertain what my rule is when I'm driving next to one, and who has the right to turn and when and who's responsible for what. So I don't know about you guys, but I do have questions around biking, period, now that we're adding more of these lanes to the city.
That's a great point. Yeah, because I know that even in downtown and in the Exchange where they've added those bike lanes, you can it's all one ways, but you used to be able to turn right on a red or turn left on a red on those lanes, but you can't. At least the turning, no more turning right on red, because you'd be cutting across the bike lanes. And I remember that being sort of jarring. I think I did it actually. I turned right on a red once and then realized, oh, that's
a no.
That's new.
Mm-hmm. And what about if you are, so I'm thinking about near the Fort, I think it's Fort Richmond. There's a liquor store I sometimes drop into, and I'm coming down Pembina. There's a bike lane on the right-hand side to me. It's not protected, but if the bike is beside me, do I let them pass before I turn right? Or do they stop to let me turn right? They have the right of way there. Yes. I don't know the answer to this.
Yeah. Good point.
So, we're working to get someone who's in that milieu, driver's ed, to help us out with that. And in the meantime, if you've got some feedback on that subject, 780-6868.
It is Mackling, McGarry, and McNabb. Global morning weather specialist Drew Stremick is going to join us in a couple of minutes to talk about what was a hot, hot May. Couple of hot tickets. Jerry Seinfeld coming to Winnipeg September 22nd. We had a contest at CJOB.com called Jerry's Joke Pool, where you got to submit your best zingers for a chance to win, and we shall declare that winner coming up just after 7:50 this morning. Also, another new contest, chance to win some tickets for Country Fest, Dauphin's Country Fest, happening June 30th to July 2nd. We've got our first Country Fest code of the day coming up just after 7:15. So we'll do that every day for the next 2 weeks, just after 7:15. Lorraine, you ever been out to Country Fest? I know you like the country music.
I have, but not in a long, long time. I would have been in high school the last time I did it, but it's a great time. It's a great even just to go for the day if you want, or the weekend. You can camp out there. It's a wonderful facility. It's honestly, even if you don't like country music, you would enjoy yourself out there. So yeah, maybe I should try to win the tickets. Is that allowed? I ask that like once a year. Have we changed the rules yet? Am I allowed to win any of these?
Still no rule change, Loren. You're still ineligible.
Okay.
But I've got to get up there one of these years. I've never been. My dad used to go on the regular. So many people from Minnedosa and Westman that I knew that would make it the pilgrimage up to Dauphin for every July long weekend. And by all accounts, it's an absolute blast. They always seem to get a major thunderstorm, though, somehow, some way, which wasn't uncommon. The following long weekend, the August long weekend in Minnedosa, we would often get at least one big thunderstorm on that weekend to interrupt festivities. I think it canceled sticks not once, but twice in Minnedosa.
Well, really? It's like you're gathering thousands of people together in a campsite in a field, and Mother Nature's like, that's hilarious.
Well, see how you handle this. Yeah, like I remember once, I don't know if it was 10 years ago-ish, there was, I had some buddies who were out at Country Fest, and there was this thunderstorm that it parked in over Dauphin for the whole weekend. Just watching it on the radar, it just decided, yeah, this looks like a good spot to stop. And it just, instead of moving out, it just swirled for 3 days straight. It was I've never seen anything like it. But they still had a blast. And buddy's like, oh, yeah, we were soaked. Everything was a mess. We had a great time. So,
yeah, that's not my idea of fun. Mucky and dirty and stuff. If I can't have a shower every day, I'm sort of out.
You're out.
Yeah.
Like, what happens? Do you just go find a spot to sleep for the next little while?
I need to shower every day. I don't like to be muddy or dirty or anything like that. I was never one of those kids that made mud pies and went out and played in the mud, splashed in the puddles. That was just not my thing, ever.
Fancy. He's fancy.
Maybe I'm fancy. It could be fancy.
Nothing wrong with that. You're just fancy, you know? Meanwhile, I might go till Wednesday and I have a shower 4 feet from me, you know? But... whatever.
All right. So the Country Fest code of the day is coming up just after 7:15. And again, we'll have a new code for you each day for the next 2 weeks. Also, I see at CJOB.com, there's something called Flippin' Awesome Dads, where you can nominate a Flippin' Awesome Dad and tell us why your pops is tops for a chance to win a $500 Lux Barbecue Company gift card. As Father's Day is next on the
docket. Well, I guess if Loren's ineligible for the Dauphin Country Fest tickets, that makes me ineligible for this Lux Barbecue gift certificate as well.
You both just need to find ringers.
Like explain.
Team system, like get someone that we know.
Yeah.
To write in. Yeah. And then say, when you win the prize, you don't get it. That seems not right.
Yeah. Right. Wrong. Yeah. Yeah. Gray air.
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do, right?
There are shades of gray. So lots of stuff to win at CJOB.com. And of course, we've got tickets to win for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. They're playing the regular season opens this weekend. So we've got tickets for Friday's game at IG Field. Who are the Bombers playing on Friday?
Hamilton Tiger Cats coming to town.
Yes.
Rematch right. of the 2019 and the 2021 Grey Cup. So... yeah, it should be a great game. The Bombers, of course, cut Mark Leggio on Saturday. That was, I wouldn't say the biggest surprise, but it was certainly the biggest name player, a guy who'd been around for several seasons. Let go. We know what happened in the Grey Cup game last year. So that may have, there have been a hangover situation with that. So Derek Taylor will give us more details on that, what the Bombers are going to do with their kicking situation. And also what's the latest on the Kenny Lawler suspension as Derek joins us at 8:35, Brett.
All right. So as we start the first full week of June, with a couple of 30-plus degree days, it would seem the weather is a simple continuation of what we saw last month.
So although not unusual for a May to be as warm as it was, just how warm was it versus the average? Let's find out. Global News weather specialist Drew Stremek steps away from his Global News morning duties on television to join us in the radio station. Drew, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
So let's start with the May temperatures. How did they compare to the usual May in these parts?
Well, it was a hot one. According to some of the meteorologists from here in Winnipeg, May was the second warmest on record since 1872 when they started taking those temperatures. Only 1977 has been a warmer May. Our mean temperature was around just about 18 degrees for the whole month.
And oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, and it was the 18th driest at the airport since 1992 and the fourth most 20 and 30 degree days since 1991 and 2018.
Okay. Wasn't my imagination.
Yeah.
And it's just carried on into June. Like, what are we looking at for long term here?
Oh, absolutely. These above seasonal highs are continuing for the foreseeable future. in fact, our overnight lows in some cases have been around what our seasonal high should be.
Oh, that's a good way to contrast it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like our normal highs for this time of year should be around 22 or 23 degrees. And we've had overnight lows around 20 degrees already so far this month.
It's just to recap, that's as hot at night as it sometimes has gotten at the peak, you know, time of day in a typical early June.
Yes. So our overnight lows, the coolest it should be, is what our normal highs in the afternoon should be.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I thought, because I was wondering, like, it really does feel like a hotter May than normal, but we see some of this heat almost every year, but only for a couple of days.
Yeah, know. Not for this extended amount. So what about the precipitation situation? Because we're certainly not getting widespread showers or thunderstorms. Brett mentioned on Saturday how he could see from his balcony showers here, showers there, nothing where he was. I had a similar experience yesterday and Friday leading up to the Blue Bomber game. There seemed to be thunderstorms all around, but there were large swaths of southern Manitoba that saw nothing in terms of precipitation.
It hasn't been particularly windy, so that has played a little bit more in why a lot of these rain showers and thunderstorms haven't been moving around that quickly. You know, they have been happening sporadically, and they've been intense. So, for example, on Saturday, we had nearly 50 millimeters of rain, 50 millimeters of rain fall in an hour at the Winnipeg airport. Oh. So despite that these rain showers aren't lasting long, they are very intense and they're bringing a lot of rainfall with them. So it's just been a wild past couple of days for the start of June.
All right. Global's Drew Stremick, weather specialist. Thank you very much, sir. We got to let you get back to your television, but thank you for popping down to Radio Alley.
Of course, guys.
Mackling, McGarry, and McNabb with a question for you. How'd you like free wings for a year? As Sarah McCarthy's been telling you in Global News, that's what Winnipeg man Howie Prosiak got from Smitty's. After a little stunt he pulled at a recent Blue Jays game, he's at the game in Minnesota on Friday, May 26th. He was caught on camera with a sign that read, "My wife thinks I'm watching the game at Smitty's in Winnipeg." And by the way, he tells Global News his wife was in on the gag.
Oh, definitely. She knows. Yeah. She was actually in Edmonton for the weekend, so she knew about it. She knew we were going to do something. She didn't know what the sign was going to say, but once she got back to Winnipeg on the Monday morning, I think it hit her too, because I said, this has gone absolutely crazy. Her thought was, maybe I should send a picture of myself and saying, does anybody know where my husband is?
So we want to know, what's the coolest thing you've ever won, or I guess gotten for free? 204-780-6868 for a chance to win Bomber tickets for this Friday's game against Hamilton. Let's go around the horn here. Why don't we start with Global's Sarah McCarthy?
Yeah, mine was at a Blue Jays game, and I think some of the best surprises, well, depending if you like surprises, are the ones you aren't expecting. And sometimes they have those games where they hand out, like, the first 100 people get this free thing. So we had no idea, but this was back in, like, 2018, I want to say, when Josh Donaldson was still, like, a big name player for them, and they were handing out t-shirts with him on it, and we just had no idea, so that was a very nice surprise, and it was free, so no complaints. Nice.
And it was free. See, yeah, that's like the statement.
That's
why the crowd goes nuts when those t-shirt guns come out. We're like, I don't even want this t-shirt, but it's free.
Exactly.
And I will take it.
The XXXL, they can't sell. Here you go. That are the
and
extra
you're so
small.
And so when you get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were pumped.
What did they call Donaldson? Was it the Rainmaker?
And that's what it said, Bringer of Rain.
The Bringer of Rain.
On the shirt. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay. Loren, what about you?
Nothing. I never win anything. But I know somebody who wins a ton. And to the point where, like, I think I need to just, you know, how those contests come in. And it's like, if you enter, you have a chance to, and you look at the receipt they hand you at the till, and or you get that email, and you're like, I'm not filling this survey out. Well, guess what? When you do, you win things. And I need to be a person who wins things more, because the best thing we benefited from was my in-laws won a trip to the Olympics in 2010, a trip for four.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm. And the two of us got to go, my husband and I. So we got to go to the Olympics in Vancouver. The flight was included, the hotel for 3 nights. We then got tickets to see Canada versus Germany in hockey speed skating, and one of them was a final, and Canada won either a gold or silver, so that was super cool. And then, but the biathlon, that's why I have the love of the biathlon. No idea what's happening, but it was great. And again, like, lots of people will ignore those contests. And so at the end of the day, you think, what are the odds? Well, the odds might be that maybe only like 100 people fill out those forms or write them in, right? And so I think I need to be a contest person and start going all in on those things.
Contest connoisseur.
Well, you can't complain about never winning if you never enter.
If you don't enter, exactly. No, I know. I mean, I don't win anything in terms of contests or like lotteries or even a scratch and win, like nothing, like not even $2 on those things. But I think I need to start just entering and we'll see what happens. Porges. I'll do one right now.
Let's just see what happens. I one time, and this was, I wasted all of my luck on this. I opened up a Kinder Surprise because sometimes I'm, you know, in the store and I want a Kinder Surprise because I enjoy the chocolate and you get a little thing. And I won a Stanley Cup inside that. It was like, this was like when I was in high school. It was a tiny mini Stanley Cup. It was like one of 150,000 chance and I pulled it. And that's the best thing I've ever won, ever. But I'll say this. My grandma, cat grandma, called her cat grandma my whole life because she's like regularly had like 9 or 10 cats out past Victoria Beach. Anyway, it's saying about Albert Beach. But anyways, she is has been my entire life the absolute queen of social silent auctions. If she's there or has been there and I've ever been there, she's walking up 4 or 5 times. And you might think that, oh, because she's spending lots of money. No, she's not. She's just, I don't know what she does. Maybe she does something with the ticket. Some people do the little crumple, the fold. Whatever she's been doing, she knows exactly what she's doing, and she keeps winning. And, like, I've seen her walk up and trot up and say, oh, there's Cat Grandma. She's going up a bunch of times. Win, win, win.
What's the secret, Cat
she
Grandma?
She won't share. She will refuse to share.
People are just lucky, though. Like she's just lucky. Is there a secret or just you're lucky?
I make my own luck. Which is why I have none.
Which is why you have not. You have to go back to the chocolate Kinder stem cap or whatever the heck that was.
Stupid. How much is that thing worth on eBay?
Jack, nothing.
What about you, Mackling?
Well, the biggest prize I ever won, I was in, we were at a fundraiser at a restaurant. And so I'd put up just about all my tickets in on the silent auction draw for the $300 worth of Heinz gift certificates. And they were drawing the prizes and nature called, and I was in a fairly compromised position and I could hear them calling my number going once. No. Oh God, no, wait, going twice, wait, going three times. I managed to, finished what I was doing, get my hands washed and everything, ran out just in the nick of time as they were about to draw another number. I was able to claim those Heinz gift certificates quite proudly. That's the biggest prize I've ever won, and I almost won and didn't get the prize.
Wow. And Forte, what about you?
When I was in high school, I was in the cafeteria, and I bought a little carton of chocolate milk and go and sit down the hallway and open this thing up, and it starts mooing at me. Nice. I'm going, what the, like, what's going on here? Well, apparently I had won a copy of the movie, A Journey to the Center of the Earth with Brendan Fraser. And I never claimed the prize because, like, you had to mail it in and do all this. But I was very excited that, you know, I got this mooing carton of milk.
Forte.
Is that the 3D one with the 3D?
I don't think it was 3D. I think it was just.
Oh, that one was 3D.
Forte, you blew it, though. It's a movie. Oh.
Even I have to groan at that one.
Well, maybe Greg's wanting in on Jerry's joke pool. So we're going to name the winner of the Seinfeld tickets at 7:50. But to win Bomber tickets for this Friday's game, you need to tell us about the coolest thing you ever won. We're going to pick a winner for that at 9:15. It is Mackling, McGarry, and McNabb. Hey, by the way, it's Bike to Work Day. And to kick off Bike Week, we're going to be talking about that a lot today on CJOB. And just a heads up that at our building at 201 Portage, they've set up a pit stop outside the building at the corner of Portage and Notre Dame.
What can you get? What's the deal?
They've got some giveaways and some cold water if you need for the stop.
So nice.
Yeah, so if you are taking your bike to work today and it takes you by 201 Portage, feel free to stop by the pit stop.
I was thinking more like a pit stop from races, right? Like, zzz, like tires come off, new tires go on, a quick change and check the oil on your chain. Everything's running. Your brakes look good. Get out of here, man.
Go. maybe they're doing, you'll see some of that at 201 Portage. So we'll talk more about that. Biking at 7:35. And also, we are asking you to tell us about the coolest thing you ever won. What does Christy have to say?
So in April, my daughter and I went to New York City to see some Broadway plays. But the only play she really wanted to see was Hamilton, which is, of course, incredibly expensive. And if you can get tickets, they cost a lot, but it's always sold out. When we got there, we decided to stand in line for standby tickets in case there were any last minute. We didn't get standby tickets, but this incredible family from Wisconsin pulled us out of the line and gave us their two extra tickets.
What?
Free. Free. The only thing they would let me do is buy drinks at intermission. We sat in row 5, center stage. It was out of this world. Best experience ever. Yeah. Hello, Christy.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder if that couple bought the 4 tickets, like the Wisconsin people, just because that's all they could get and thought they'd give it away. But, you know, they could have sold those for hundreds. So that's just a kind thing to do.
No kidding.
That's incredible, Christy. Thank you so much for sharing that. Glad you got to see it. There are so many people who'd love to go see a Broadway show, and to get to see that one. Indeed, that is awesome. So we're going to pick a winner for the Bomber tickets for this Friday's game at 9:15. And a reminder, the Dolphins Country Fest Code of the Day comes up in our next segment. And we've got Seinfeld tickets to give away based on Jerry's Joke Pool. That's a contest that's been running at CJOB.com for the last week or so. We'll pick that winner at 7:50. Right now, though, Greg, in the wake of Global News' exclusive reporting in the Indo-Pacific region, where our crew witnessed firsthand a Chinese warship buzzing a U.S. Navy destroyer in the Taiwan Strait, close encounter, the U.S. says was intentional.
Yeah, global cameras caught it. Go to globalnews.ca to see this story, because for as gripping as the story itself is, the video is incredible. Speaking at a top-level security summit in Singapore on Sunday, U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin labeled China's actions, quote, irresponsible, and called on China to rein in that type of conduct. Once again, quote, conduct that could force things to spiral out of control. Global's Mackenzie Gray has this.
HMCS Montreal has left the Taiwan Strait, but the busy seas we saw there have followed us on our journey. As we move into the East China Sea, so does the People's Liberation Army Navy, continuing to shadow the Canadian-American warships on a joint mission, traveling through international waters. But the traffic increased today, first with a pod of dolphins alongside the Montreal, then with an Australian and a Japanese warship meeting up for a new mission.
Essentially, we're going to be just working with multinational partners to promote the free and open Indo-Pacific region.
The Chinese ship launched one of their helicopters, circling the Montreal twice before flying off, an action not viewed as concerning by the Canadians.
They'll send out their helicopters to see who's operating off their coast, figure out who we are, where we are, and they try to figure out what we're doing, but we try to keep that to ourselves.
The new exercise pre-planned, and not a response to yesterday's close call between USS Chang-hoon and a Chinese warship in the Taiwan Strait. A maneuver the Chinese defense minister defended. Li Shengfu calling the joint Canada-US mission a provocation to China, saying the United States is truly the primary cause of tensions in the South China Sea. But our exclusive video from yesterday tells another story. The Chinese warship steaming across from the left, cutting off the Chang-hoon only 150 yards from its bow, after telling the Americans on the radio to move or get hit. The Chang-hoon needing to slow down to avoid a collision. American Indo-Pacific Command calling the maneuver unsafe and a violation of maritime rules.
This is a clearly provocative and arguably unprofessional event. And I would say that the Chinese captain knew exactly what he was doing. This was not an accident.
As you can see behind us, the Montreal has met up with the Canadian refueling ship, the Asterisk, which was providing diesel and other supplies for the final leg of our journey.
Yeah, Mackenzie Gray has been embedded with the HMCS Montreal for a week now, and his reports were fascinating, Loren, but to have actual and have the global cameras capture this actual maneuver by the Chinese Navy, absolutely jaw-dropping.
Yeah, it's fascinating that he was there for that on the HCMS to see something like that, because they're just trying to get a snapshot of what's going on, both with what we do in the Navy and also what's going on in and around Taiwan in those international waters. And just this morning, like 52 minutes ago, the United States military released video of that close call, that maneuver that was clearly not an accident. And it's from the vantage point of the American destroyer, the USS Chung Hoon. And so I know we'll be working to get that up at globalnews.cacgob.com, because you can see the ship just cut across in front. It wasn't like, oh, sorry, my bad, I didn't see you there. Like, it's an intentional move, whether it's to just try to be provoking, to make a statement, I don't know what, but the video shows that it was about 150 meters away, and the American destroyer, as Mackenzie pointed out, it had to reduce its speed by 10 knots to avoid collision, because it was going at a rapid pace, and then this ship cuts and cross. So go take a look for that video as well, because here you are thinking, you know, the ocean is so vast and big, and it's not like you're in a small lake where you have to have your head on a swivel to see if another boat's around you. And there he is out there seeing like so much action. It's a pretty incredible experience.
150 meters, like 400 feet, between 400 and 500 feet. It's not a lot of space at all when you're talking about these football field plus in length warships. Crazy stuff.
It is Mackling, McGarry, and McNabb for the next 2 weeks. You have the chance to win a pair of three-day general admission weekend passes to Dolphins Country Fest, happening June 30th to July 2nd.
So for the next 2 weeks, each day, just after 7:15, we will announce the Country Fest code of the day, which you can enter at cgob.com for a chance to win, Loren. But you can't do that, okay?
I won't. Today's right. Code word is... oh, it's a hard one. Camping. So again, enter that code word at cgob.com. The winner will be announced on Monday, June 19th. Again, the code word is camping.
And indeed, cgob.com is where you go to enter that code word. So don't text it to us at 204-780-6868. Do not text it. Go to cgob.com for your chance to win. And our new code word every day, just after 7:15. Also up for grabs today, we've got bomber tickets for Friday's game against Hamilton to open the regular season. We're asking you, what's the coolest thing you ever won?
Shannon's sort of going about this in a different way. Shannon says, I've never won anything in my life. By winning these bomber tickets, that would be my first win ever.
Really?
She's actually not the only one that's tried that this morning. A couple people trying to, you know, play on our heartstrings, right? If we give them to them now, then they can proclaim their first win.
Yeah, and I guess there really is maybe some potential to the not winning things ever. For example, at socials, there are some people I've seen at several socials, and it's like they've got the system figured out, because I'll say, hey, you were at such and such a social and you won there too. Now you're walking out of here with a barbecue. Last week, you got yourself a set of lawn chairs or whatever.
Like, what's the trick? Backyard. Get their backyard all set up just by going to these spring wedding socials.
Yeah, but I don't try that often. But I guess maybe the more you try these contests, the more chance you have to win. Like, Loren, you made that great point about those surveys that they always tell you about.
Yes.
And when you buy something, hey, they circle it on the bill, go here and enter for a chance to win. I never do it. I say to myself every time, I'm going to try that this time. And then I immediately forget about it.
Right. Like, you get those receipts always, and it says if you just, and they circle at the bottom, like, all you got to do is go to Loblaws or whatever the grocery store is you're at. And I just wonder how many people actually do that. Maybe lots of people go home and do it. But I think the odds might be you take that receipt and you get home and you don't. And it's often coming from companies that, you know, like, you're not going to feel bad taking from the Loblaws of the world. Let me tell you that right now, if you win a groceries for a year or a $500 prize, right? So no. I don't know why we're not doing it, but I never do.
I think it's clear that we're not, because Home Depot in the last couple of years has upped the ante on those. Forever it was $1,000 to be entered to win a $1,000 gift card. It's $3,000 now.
Really?
Yeah, and they put the QR code right there on your receipt.
No, you just have to scan it, like, and then enter a name. And for some reason, we're just not, like, do we think it's a scam? Is that what's stopping us, or is it the time?
They're collecting our information. They want to know more about our lives.
That's a four-letter word. There's a Z in there, and a L, and an A, and a Y in there, I think.
So we're gonna
lazy. I just figured it out. Sorry.
And before we talk about more about Bike to Work Day, Bike Week, we are asking you for a chance to win bomber tickets about the coolest thing you've ever won. Like Gerhard, who says, and this is quite the story here, so we're going to split duties on this one, Loren, but it starts with, not mine, but my son Hudson, who was 9 at the time, entered a contest for Winnipeg Jets and Boston Pizza's Design a Mask in 2018. The night of the deadline to enter, we drove to the St. Vitel location. I told Hudson several times, we're not going in for dinner, we're just dropping it off. We got there, I handed it to the woman at the host stand. She thanked us and said, I'll make sure this gets entered. I was thinking, yeah, right, that's going into file 13.
I'm so guessing that's the garbage can, I'm guessing.
Yes, it must be some sort of nickname for that. But so Gerhard says, after a couple of weeks of telling Hudson the odds were slim to nil, we get the phone call and he goes nuts. He won a Pro Bauer helmet with his design done up by a professional artist, a jersey, dinner for four, and then four tickets to a game against the Red Wings. Plus, we were invited to a practice where he had a meet and greet with Hellebuck. We got a ton of autographs, and a stick was autographed by then backup Michael Hutchinson. Oh, he was on the pregame show, the radio broadcast, and I should also mention Hellebuck signed the helmet. Wow. So a true shout out to the True North organization as they treated Hudson like gold, and as all parents would agree, someone makes your kids' day, they make the parents' day as well. So he won the prize, but we won a fantastic memory.
That's awesome.
That's a heck of a prize.
No kidding. Way to go. So keep those coming for a chance to win. We're going to pick a winner for the bomber tickets for this Friday's game at 9:15. And yes, file 13 is a euphemism for the trash can, especially used in the U.S. military and is less common outside of the United States.
All right. Circular file. I've heard that one.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. So now when the boss says I'll put this in file 13, I know they're just chucking my ideas out the road.
Yeah. I'll file this under G.
Yeah.
I've heard that one.
For garbage? That's also for garbage?
Yep. Yes.
Okay.
All right. So in the meantime, Ren, Bike to Work Day, Bike Week, and lots to discuss as it pertains to cycling. Because earlier, you raised some good questions like I didn't really know the answers to.
Yeah, so at 8 o'clock, we're going to talk to Bike Winnipeg because there's a big group that's moving from Assiniboine to different locations. They're encouraging people to get out and find different ways to commute this week. But, you know, like every day of the year, if you can, there are definitely more bikes in the road. We have more active transportation lanes and we're building more as we speak in a number of key corridors in this city. And I think there's a lot of people, if I ask this question this morning, if you're a driver, what's your biggest beef with cyclists? I know I'll be opening up a whole can of worms, but have at her. 780-6868. And for cyclists, what's your biggest beef? Because when you look at the Highway Traffic Act, and I look at all the advice on MPI, cyclists are supposed to treat the road the same way the driver does, and so that the same rules apply. But it's easier said than done. And so you're supposed to leave like a meter between you and the cyclist. When you're turning left, you have to watch for a cyclist that might be coming in the other direction and yield to them just as you would as a car. So again, you're treating them like a car. And the big question I have with all these transportation lanes, depending on how they've been built, you mentioned in the exchange that it's limited your right to turn right on the red because the cyclist would be in that lane next to you. And so they're trying to make it a bit more safer. But I had that question, for example, in some of those active transportation lanes where there are no barriers and I'm trying to turn right, say, into a parking lot or just turn right and that active lane is next to me and there's a cyclist coming up behind, what am I supposed to do? Well, you're supposed to yield to any cyclist traveling on your right. Don't try to pass them if you're planning to turn right into the next intersection or driveway because you're just going to cut them off. And so if you see that biker coming in your side view mirror and you're about to turn right and they're in that active lane, you have to yield for them. But I'm genuinely curious how people are navigating all that because on the other end, Greg, cyclists are supposed to use the hand signals and eye contact to communicate their actions if they're going to go left or right for you. And I don't know if I know any of those signals or have really seen much of them beyond the stop.
And I think that would be the largest or the biggest complaint that drivers have anywhere, not just in this city, but I follow this debate pretty closely on social media, and that's not always necessarily the best measuring tool in terms of figuring out where people stand. But I follow people on both sides of this debate on social media, and that's probably the biggest complaint from drivers is the fact that, yes, cyclists have the right to use the road, but they also have the same responsibilities as motorists do in terms of following the rules. And that seems to be where things go off the rails. There's a sense by a lot of people that cyclists do not follow the rules of the road. And that's where that angst, why that anger, how those the confrontations are really largely based on the fact that the biggest one, I think, is when cyclists will pass you on the right on a street where right. there is no active transportation available or active transportation corridor or even a bike lane available. They'll pull up alongside you on the right and pass that solid line of traffic all the way up to, say, to the red light. They're not really allowed to do that. As soon as they pass you on the right, they're really, that's an infraction. Yeah, now on the flip side, the giving the cyclists a meter, how do you do that? Especially in Winnipeg, where you have so many streets where there are no bike lanes at all. Technically, really, I guess you're supposed to pass and move into the next lane and go around them. So the trade-off in a lot of minds of motorists is not there, you know. And a lot of it is born out of cyclists not following the rules of the road.
Well, for so long, it's not that there haven't been rules. For so long, they've been on the road or on the sidewalk, which is another bone of contention, right, for people when the cyclist is on the sidewalk and they're not really supposed to be. And on the other hand, especially if you're a parent with kids, you might be telling your kid to stay on the sidewalk with their bike because you're too stressed about them being on the
road.
Kids
are allowed to be on the sidewalk.
Yeah, I have no issue with that. It's when there's an adult downtown on the street, you know, biking down the sidewalk. And it's like, if you're really committed to biking, then bike with the rules of the road. And I was going back and forth with a driving school instructor, and we're trying to bring one on this morning because I think we could all use an education. But they had said in their email, their back and forth with me, that, you know, the couple of the beasts should be that cyclists should not have earphones in both ears because they need to hear, that we need to do a better job as drivers on how to navigate these active transportation lanes. Her concern is that they give everybody a false sense of security and that only correctly taught drivers will do this bike lane check, right? To look to see if someone's there before turning. And I don't think most of us do that. And then, and in her opinion, she felt that cyclists should have to do some sort of knowledge test, just like a new car driver, right? Like obtain that bicycle permit. If you're someone's going to use that bike actively for commuting, what sort of test do you have to understand the rules of the road? And I think we get taught that when we're at, I don't know, Brad, grade two or something. There might have been a bike. I know there was a bike lesson. Some guy would come to the school and teach mm-hmm. us all just safely locking your bike and a couple of the hand signals. But that wasn't for us to be actively using the roads like a car.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was grade three.
We used to have, I can remember back in the day, the bike rodeo where they would set up the course. And then if you mastered the course at school, you would get sent to the city championships for the bike rodeo. And I also remember, you know, having to license my bicycle and getting the little license plate and all that. And I think that's something that should be done, not only just because of the safety, but with all the bikes that are stolen in this city. Sure. It's the only way you're ever going to get them back is if there's some sort of record. Most people don't even know the serial number of their bicycle, let alone any other information about it. So yeah, I think there are a lot of things on the agenda with regard to cycling and motorists and how they could get along better that need to be implemented or at the very least discussed.
Ron says he thinks cyclists should have license plates. Sorry, Brett, I wanted to add this point from Kyla. Kyla is a cyclist and a car commuter, and she says, who as one who does both groups are jerks.
Right now we're talking bikes because there is a growing number of cyclists on Winnipeg streets, and today you might be seeing more than usual.
Yeah, so today is Bike to Work Day. This is all part of Bike Week, which is now in its 10th year here in Winnipeg. Dave Elmore is the Bike Week board chair and joins us now from a pit stop on a cycle from Assiniboine Park. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
How many out there with you today? Describe the scene.
Well, I've probably still got about 25 riders with me. We did a group ride this morning from Assiniboine Park and we're heading to the Forks. We've got about 25 left. I'd say we probably had at the peak probably around 40 people, but people tend to peel off as they've got to get to work.
So it's quite the sight. I know I've spent some time in the summers down in behind Canada Life now by the Granite Curling Club and dropping my kids off for camps there. And I'm blown away by how many people use that particular route, Dave. Do we know how many people use their bikes regularly, not just for pleasure, but to get to work, school, or other?
I'm not sure that we have exacting numbers. I certainly can say that for sure the numbers are constantly growing, and I think that the pandemic actually has created even more growth, because we know very well that lots and lots of people went out and bought bikes or dragged that old bike out from wherever in their shed somewhere and got out riding their bikes during the pandemic. And a lot of those people are looking to kind of continue. I think they enjoyed riding their bikes and they'd kind of forgotten how much they enjoyed it. And they're out there riding. So we're just seeing more and more and more people actually riding bikes.
We've been talking this morning about how we can all better get along, motorists and cyclists. So does that start with lessons, for example? Like, should more cyclist information be added to driver's ed, and should cyclists be required to do their own tests?
Well, I don't know whether they need to do a test. I think that education is important. I'm actually a cycling educator, so I agree that cycling education is important for people who ride bikes. But I think there's education on both sides of the coin and the information that needs to get out there so that people who are driving better understand people who are cycling, and people who are cycling have a better understanding of what they should do, so they're a little more consistent in terms of their behavior and how they actually behave on the roads.
So let's talk about some of the things we might need to know or be more aware of, Dave, because I said this morning, you know, we're adding to the cycling infrastructure, and I get a lot of work needs to be done still. A lot more is needed, and it's in some cases piecemeal. But if I'm driving next to, say, an active lane that's on my right-hand side, how do I need to treat it as the driver? What should I be thinking about?
Well, as a driver, if you're overtaking a cyclist, what we generally would love to see is we'd love to see people giving us more space and not squeezing by us. But part of that also comes from a cyclist's perspective as well, is that I generally would recommend that people ride at least a meter away from the curb. There's lots of reasons for that in terms of the actual conditions of the roads along those edges, but also it gives you more room to maneuver as you're riding along. And I think when a lot of people ride, they tend to sort of hug the curb because they don't want to inconvenience, you know, the people driving. And that just creates space and creates a situation where cars may just pass you too closely.
I want to read a text we got here a little bit ago. David says, I'm 54. I use a sidewalk. My daughter's 22, does as well. The math is simple. Car weighs over 3,000 pounds compared to a bike. Winnipeg has horrible drivers, bike, car, and truck. What's your response to that?
My response to that is sidewalks are for walking. It's in the name. It's illegal to ride on the sidewalks, and actually it's much more dangerous. Now, when I say that, I mean that it's more dangerous when you are riding close to, you know, or interacting at intersections, because drivers can't necessarily know or sort of anticipate someone moving that quickly on a sidewalk, because it's not what they're looking for. They're looking for slow moving pedestrians and not fast moving bikes. And there was recently a situation that was exactly like that. Somebody riding too fast on the sidewalk and got what we call a right hook, the car turning right and the bike slamming into the car. So I would recommend people don't ride on the sidewalks. Yes, we don't have connected infrastructure everywhere, but where possible, you should try to find alternative routes, quieter streets, as opposed to, you know, riding down Portage Avenue. Yes, if you're on Portage Avenue, maybe you want to take the sidewalk. But if you're going to ride on the sidewalk, what I tell people is then ride at pedestrian speed. And if you're riding at pedestrian speed, then why ride?
Dave, we got to get out in just about 30 seconds. But quickly here, do you like where the city is going in terms of its cycling infrastructure?
I do. I think things are improving. We're getting a little bit more all the time. We need a lot, and we've got a long ways to go,
but we're headed in the right direction. We just need to move more in a direction of giving people alternatives to how they transport themselves, because we can't continue to grow just a car city.
Dave Elmore, Bike Week Board Chair, joining us live on 680 CJOB. Dave, thank you very much for this. We appreciate it.
You're more than welcome. Thank you very much.
We got to begin today. We begin the countdown to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers season opener. Friday night, Hamilton Tiger Cats provide the opposition as the Blue and Gold look to reach the Grey Cup for the fourth straight season.
Yeah, and the Bombers are also looking to claim their third championship in four seasons. And tonight, the season debut of the Coaches Show, Mike O'Shea, and our guest this morning, the voice of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, Derek Taylor, is joining us now on the start. DT, good morning, my friend.
Good morning.
So, you all set for tonight's big season debut with the coach?
I think so, yeah. Today's the first day of practice now that all the cuts have been made. So there'll be plenty to talk about. There are plenty of questions about, hey, Mark Leggio got released. He was the kicker for the last year, you know, year and most of the year before. And, oh, what about this? And, hey, are these guys coming back injured? So it's going to be good. Excited to have Coach O'Shea back in studio.
So almost 60% of respondents to our extremely non-scientific poll over the weekend at CJOB.com are expecting a Grey Cup appearance and or win by the home side. And you did your own poll on Twitter leading up to the game on Friday night, and I think it's still up there, asking how many games the Bombers would win this season. And I would suggest, Derek, a similar number of people expecting a boatload of regular season wins for this club.
Yeah, the majority, over 60% of people said between 12 and 14 wins is what I expect from the Bombers this season. It was 15 last season, a club record. So 12 to 14 is still enough for first place in the West. And when you look at the CFL right now, Doug mentioned it on the postgame show, Hamilton might be their biggest contender, their biggest challenger for the Grey Cup. So that we get this matchup in week number one is pretty exciting.
So the biggest story coming out of the weekend, of course, was Saturday's cutdown day. And I have to say, I don't know why I reacted this way, Derek, but when I heard Mark Leggio was no longer part of the club, I was surprised. And I'm not sure if it was a surprise because I couldn't believe it, but because I guess maybe I wondered, you know, why now after all the ups and downs of last season? So talk a bit about that. What was said and what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised it happened, but it still kind of shocked me a little bit because Leggio kicked every ball last season, right? Like he was the kicker. He had that kick in the Labor Day game, the 55-yarder that put the Bombers ahead late, put the Riders in the hole late. And you know, he was the one that Coach O'Shea rode with all season long, even through some struggles like that Montreal game at home, and anytime they went to BC. So it was a little bit of a shock. I guess it makes sense because Sergio Castillo was brought in, you know, after the Elks released him to do the kicking. And then the punters, the two guys they took in the global draft, Jamison Sheehan and Carl Schmitz, look good in preseason. So they have options punting. And then one of the guys will handle the kickoffs, which will be fine. It's still, he was such a big, important, well, he was such a big piece last year and an important piece. And the coaching staff very clearly wanted Mark to succeed. So it just that shock of, oh, it's over? Oh, okay. It took me a little time to process that. But I guess the Bombers, they had an open competition among five guys all camp long, six guys at one point. And yeah, they felt Mark, I guess, wasn't the one for 2023.
Well, Derek, the big story from last week, of course, was the suspension of the Blue Bombers' big free agent from this past offseason, Kenny Lawler. So do we have more clarity on the situation with one of the top receivers in the CFL?
Yeah, it was what Doug hypothesized in the pregame show, that it would end up being issues with the border that were a problem. And Paul Friesen of the Winnipeg Sun wrote a good piece. He pointed out, hey, Kenny pleaded guilty to charged with drunk driving back in October 2021. In April of this year, he pleaded guilty to that, so he has to then pay his punishment. But then, of course, when you're coming from America to Canada, the border wants to control, you know, who's in and who's out, and things like, you know, being convicted of driving while intoxicated caused problems at the border. So Paul had dug up that that's what the problem is. and it will take some time to rectify. There are things, certain things you have to do, and I don't know what they are, but there are certain things you have to do to say, hey, yes, I should be able to work in Canada and deal with paperwork and possibly interview, stuff like that. So that part is has to be done. And now, you know, the bombers in their statement said, we think it'll be 3 to 4 weeks. There's no guarantee of what time length it is. It could be shorter. It could conceivably be longer. But, yeah, it's a border and work permit issue that's keeping Kenny Lawler off the field and opening up opportunities in a very, very deep receiving core.
Okay, so Derek, you know, obviously Lawler won't be on the practice field until this situation is cleared up, but there were several veterans who didn't really practice at all, or if they did, in a very limited fashion throughout training camp and through the preseason. So who are you going to be looking for? Which numbers are you going to be looking for right away when practice opens this morning?
Yeah, it'll be a big deal if they're not at practice this morning, right? Through camp, there could be, hey, certain veteran guys don't need to practice, so it's fine. But if number 20, Brady Oliveira, number 4, Adam Bigshill, Jackson Jeffcoat, number 94, aren't out there, we're going to start asking questions more of, okay, the game's Friday. Like, Jackson hasn't practiced since, you know, May 18th thereabout. Is he going to be ready to play, right? He didn't play in the preseason. So those are the three big ones that they're going to be watching. We saw Winston Rose get injured early on in camp, and Desmond Lawrence in about the middle of camp, two of their cornerbacks. So two more that will be like, okay, what about those two? There's fill in for those guys, but those first three, those guys are a big deal. Brady, over 1,000 yards for the first time last season. Adam Bigshill, a CFL All-Star last season, and, you know, a critical point in which their defense works around. And Jackson Jeffcoat, one of the best in the entire CFL at getting pressure on the quarterback. Those guys can't play against Hamilton on Friday and don't practice today. We're going to start to think, oh, this is close, and maybe they won't play in the season and home opener.
Talk about the Blue Bombers' number 3 quarterback and the work that he did to secure his job. And maybe there might even be some Bomber fans looking to get a jersey with his name and number on it.
Yeah, Tyrell Pigram. And his nickname, he brought it with him. It's Piggy T. Stop blaming Ted Wyman for making it up. Piggy T is his nickname, and he was dynamic in the preseason. His ability to run the football was incredible. 45-yard touchdown run against Edmonton. He broke 4 tackles on a run on a real nice touchdown drive this past game against Saskatchewan. Tyrell Pigram is exciting, and what we thought the Bombers would be looking for would be a quarterback who can run with a third quarterback spot behind Drew Brown and the starter Zach Kolaris. And Pigram showed he can do exactly that. He got a little chance to show he could do some other stuff, you know, throwing the football. But it was the running stuff that I think Minnesota kind of perked up and go, oh, that's exciting. Oh, and I can imagine that in small doses during the season to enhance Kolaris in the offense. Let's get on that. So Tyrell Pigram, he's now number 13. The Bombers revealing, hey, some guys switched numbers during preseason or for the season. Pigram number 13 will be the one to watch for.
Before we let you go, Derek, just curious how they've been managing practices and everything in this heat. Friday's game, a high of 28, so that's decent. Doesn't look as sweltering as the next couple days and the past couple days have been. But this is early for everyone, whether you know Winnipeg weather or not.
Yeah, I mean, they'll instead of taking more breaks, camp was hot in the beginning, but not this oppressively hot. Like, this is hot with that humidity, right? This is the kind of gross hot versus the, it was just 25, 27 degrees with relatively low humidity at the beginning of camp. You have some guys that'll be used to this, right? Guys from Florida and the Southern U.S. will be used to it. But yeah, they would take more breaks and they would do a little less work just because it is so, man, it's awful when I'm just sitting there, much less I'm trying to run around at full speed and show coaches stuff. So yeah, they're very conscientious about things like this. And I mean, this is a player safety issue ultimately. So yeah, they may shorten up practice. They may take some more stuff out of it inside, more breaks for water, whatever it is. But yeah, the heat will definitely be top of mind for coaches and the training staff today.
So coach's show makes its season debut tonight with Mike O'Shea. Derek, what time?
7 o'clock to 8 o'clock live. You can hit me up at DT on OB or text in. at 204-780-6868 with your questions. And nothing off limits for me to ask Mike O'Shea, whether he'll answer just about anything. It's a whole different thing, but I will take your questions to him with this. He won't tell us anything about lineups and stuff, or, you know, he's not great. He doesn't want to talk about injuries because of player privacy, but if you send it, I'll ask him.
Derek Taylor, the voice of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, joining us live on The Start. Derek, thank you for this, sir.
Thank you.
And the Bombers once again play Hamilton on Friday. It is Mackling, McGarry, and McNabb. We've got Bomber tickets to give away for this Friday's season opener against Hamilton. And we're asking you about the coolest thing you ever won, like this Winnipegger, Howie Prosyuk, who won free wings for a year from Smitty's because of that sign he had at the Blue Jays game saying, "My wife thinks I'm watching this game at Smitty's in Winnipeg," but the game was in Minnesota. And one of our runners up is B-Rad, who started his text message with Brettarino. Haven't heard that one in a while, but he says, when lotteries first started to use those self-checker machines, where you put the ticket underneath and scan it, the machine stated, "You won a substantial prize." Everyone in 7-Eleven was freaking out. Well, it was $67.
Come on.
So the machines don't make that statement anymore. I mean, $67 is nothing to sneeze at.
No. But substantial prize.
Substantial is a real stretch there. Holy smokes. And we had the exact opposite from one of our listeners who said she did a scratch and win. Thought she'd won $50, but it was actually $5,000.
Oh.
So the exact opposite scenario there.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. That's a substantial prize.
See this one from Pat here, another runner up.
I'm not mad at Pat. It's just that this is why we need to. I'm mad at myself because I need to invest in contesting is my statement. You know, Pat says, "I have won a free 7-day cruise twice while being on a cruise. The first was a raffle draw, and the second was won in a slot tournament." Pat's going to make some enemies in the cruising world if they keep doing that.
Imagine that, being on the cruise twice and winning another cruise trip.
We need to invest in contesting. This is what we need to do.
Invest some time. The winning is out there. One of our listeners, I won't read the entire thing. One of our listeners, Daryl, said that he got a speeding ticket for doing 57 and a 55.
Come on.
And he went to Vegas. This was in Southern California. Went to Vegas, he said, and the ticket was substantial. Like $380, did he say? And so he said, I'm going to the casino. I'm taking this $5. I'm going to make enough money to pay that ticket.
Yeah.
And he did. In fact, he ended up making, I think, cashed out about $700. So
nice.
Well,
did
done.
He keep it though? The number of times I
he had to pay the ticket.
Yes, but then my husband will say, "I won last night at the casino," or "I went out with, just did well at the VLTs." He doesn't do it often. This is like once every 5 years. And then I say, "Where's the money?" He's like, "Well, it's like bonus money." So
Gerhard,
it's gone.
Gerhard is our winner. Greg, start us off because
the coolest win, not mine, but my son Hudson, who was 9 at the time, entered the contest for the Winnipeg Jets and Boston Pizza's design a mask. That was back in 2018. The night of the deadline to enter, we drove to the St. Vitale location. And I told Hudson several times, "We're not going in for dinner. We're just dropping it off." We got there and I handed it to the woman at the host stand. She thanked us and said, "I'll make sure this gets entered." I was thinking, yeah, right. That's going right into file 13.
File 13, by the way, is a euphemism for the garbage. But Loren, finish off the Gerhard's winning story for us.
Okay, so anyway, after a couple of weeks of telling Hudson that the odds were slim to nil, we get the phone call and he went nuts. He won a Pro Bowler helmet with his design done up by a professional artist, won a jersey, dinner for four tickets to a game against the Red Wings. Plus, we were invited to the practice and had a meet and greet with Hellebuck, got a ton of autographs, a stick that was autographed by then backup Michael Hutchinson. And he was on the pregame show, the radio broadcast. Should also mention Hellebuck signed the helmet. Gerhard says a shout out to the True North organization. They treated Hudson like gold, and as all parents would agree, someone makes your child's day, they make the parents' day as well. So he won the prize, but we won a fantastic memory.
And Gerhard, you win Bomber tickets for this Friday's game for that amazing story. Thank you very much for sharing. That's a really nice story. We appreciate it.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.